Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed. Pastor Shepherd Mutakwa is joining us on the line. Pastor, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Moderator, and how are you?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
I'm well.
That's good. Well, good to hear. Well, we're concluding our discussion that we've been having with you this week, talking about God the Father. And of course, knowing about God the Father is quite important to Adventists, those who are waiting for the return of the Messiah, because it helps us understand and know God in an intimate way. Now, we can see how God loves his children and takes care of them as well. He's always looking out for the best interest of his children, even eternally. Now, today's lesson is about how God relates to us as his own children. Pastor, how does God the Father relate to us?
Okay, let's again begin by a prayer.
Right.
Gracious Lord and our Father who art in heaven, we are grateful that you have reached us this far. As we conclude on this particular topic, we pray that you still be with us and guide us. Be with the hearers, the moderator, and myself, that all may be empowered by the Holy Ghost. This is our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, moderator, your question is very broad. How does God relate to us? Primarily, we know and understand that God speaks via the Holy Spirit, who, when Jesus, when he was going to heaven in the book of John, promised that he would be the one who would speak the truth, who would stand on behalf of Jesus. And then Jesus himself in John chapter 14, verse 6 said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
Yeah.
So meaning our communication, how we relate to God, we relate through our God and our Father, who is in heaven, through Jesus Christ. However, we can further say, in Acts chapter 2, verse 15, 16, 17, here is a scenario when the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples of Jesus Christ after he had left, because he had asked them to remain in one accord, in one place, that they will not do anything until they receive the power. And when people looked at them, they thought the way they were uttering and talking, they were drunk. But what was seen is that they were not drunk, but that the Holy Spirit had possessed them. And as they spoke in accordance to, I mean, to the manner that God had wanted them to speak, and everyone hearing them in that way. And that goes on the way to our time that we are in the last days. Because in these last days, God simply says, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and all sons and daughters, and all these others shall see visions." And what that will be a form of communication with God. We can further say, when we talk in terms of relating, we're talking of communicating. Any good speaker knows, or when we talk about communication, it is never one-dimensional. In our everyday interaction, we use a number of clues, a number of ways in which we communicate with our God who is in heaven. And then sometimes God will speak to us, will relate to us through a pastor, through a brother who tell us that what you are doing, my brother, is not okay. This is wrong. God doesn't. So there are several ways that God relates to us. And this relation, how he relates to us as a father, so that we don't get out of the topic. He relates to children. I know we'll talk about it later on. But God communicates to us in several ways. Others, it will be in a vision. Others, through other human beings. Others, God will talk to them directly. They will have an instinct, someone telling them that you are about to kill someone. This is not okay. I don't allow this. It's God speaking. It's God communicating. That's how I can summarily put it, because to me, it's a broad thing, a broad topic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's fine. I think that's sufficient for the purposes of our discussion this afternoon. Now, yes. You know, are we all his children, automatically, or is there a process by which we become his children?
Okay. By creation, we are all his children because we are all created in his image. Let me get to, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. This one, it speaks spiritually that those who are born again, who have accepted God, these become children of God. We are told that the children of God are born of God in 1 John chapter 3. As a mark of God's great love, we are his children. So Jesus explained even to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3, when he told him about being born again, of course, it was not going back into his mother's womb, but being born of water and the Spirit, then we become children of God. But now we must understand that we, by creation, I can say we are all automatically his children because we are all created in his image. But when you talk in terms of spirituality, what it is that it's by the Spirit of God, by accepting God, that we become his children. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. That one I can summarize. That's the summary of Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 28. Those who accept him become children of God. Of course, one will say, in relation to a father-child relationship, where you say a father has five children. Out of these children, others will go away. Others will follow what he says. But all are his children. But those that go away disturb their father. They end up, sometimes you see fathers asking those other children to find where to go. Say, because you cannot accept what I am saying, find where to go. By creation, we can be called, we are sons and daughters of God. But when we get to the Bible in a spiritual sense, we become children of God when we have accepted him who has died on the cross of Calvary, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's where the difference comes about. So we are all God's children in the sense that we are created in God's image. Every person is valuable and precious because they are made by God. But now, understand that spiritually, when we say spiritually, these are children of God, are the people who have accepted the love of God and to walk with God.
Yeah, a beautiful one indeed. Now, you know, when we speak to our fathers, there is a particular way that we go to our fathers and approach them. Is there a particular way in which we should approach our Heavenly Father?
Yeah, there is a particular way. Just like I said, we may be born of our father and mother on the earth. Even them, there is a way in which we relate to them. We don't just talk to them in any manner. There is a way in which we get to relate to them. Even I remember, even when Jesus was teaching about prayer, how did he teach? He says, this is how we should pray. In the book of Matthew chapter 6. We can't take that one for granted. The way the Father implies the intimacy and the personal relationship. So we don't have to go fluttering. We just have to say, our Father, who is in heaven, our loving Father, showing that we have a connection with him. So when we look at the Lord's Prayer, the first two sentences of Jesus' model prayer, often referred to as the Lord's Prayer, gives us a good idea of how
Pastor?
If you... Hello?
Yes, now I can hear you. I lost you there for a moment. Yeah, I'm back. I'm back. We lost you there for a moment. Yes?
Yeah, so we must address, like I was saying, God as our Father. In this, we see as one who can save us. Our Father who is in heaven. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9.
Yeah.
Hallowed be thy name. Meaning, holy is your name. Is your name. So there's a way in which we have to approach him. It may actually, moderator, not be the same as the way we approach our earthly father. No, this one is a holy father. He is our creator. He is the creator of our father, our parents, and so forth. So there is a way in which we talk to him by prayer, by preaching, by whatever manner that we can approach. But there must be some reverence, like reverence. We spoke about last time.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just do it casually, like we are talking to a friend.
True.
No, because this is a holy God.
Yeah, because, you know, I sometimes see, people, of course, I do know that you can pray at any time, you can speak to God a couple of times a day, you know, when you're driving, when you are to start in a meeting. Those are different cases. But sometimes you see people during a prayer in a church setting, for instance, others are chewing gums, others are, they're building forward their legs, etc., etc. All sorts of manner of approach to God, as though we are approaching our equal. I think perhaps it's important to emphasize on really the importance of taking cognizance of our approach as we approach the Heavenly Father.
Yeah, moderator, the book of Revelation, speaking about those four creatures that surround the throne of God, with eyes in front and behind, every time they approach that throne, what do they do?
Holy.
This is the thing.
Mm.
Yeah, showing the holiness of
Holy.
God. A church is a presence. That's where the presence of God is. God, the book of Habakkuk says, God is in his holy temple. Let all the church keep silent before him. How should we approach him when he is a holy father? How can you approach your own father? On the earthly part, your hand is in the pocket, you have folded your arms, you are chewing chungamu, and what? You can't address your father like that. You can't do that. Then how can we then approach a holy God? That is not in order. That's wrong. That's not relevant. In the house of God. We don't give God his presence. He is a God, holy God. Even beings which are in heaven that are already saved, that don't sin, can approach with their faces veiled, covering their faces before the throne. What of a sinner like you and me? Ah, there must be a big lesson there. We must really approach him with reverence.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Very important. Very, very important. Now, Pastor, as we conclude this particular week with you, how do our relationships with our own fathers here on earth impact the way we view God as our Father?
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
This one also is a loaded question, in the sense that our earthly father, we have a way in which we view them, because we look at them as that gave birth to us, that are very important. And then the father ought to have love over the children. The children ought to also give honor and respect to their father. So a father, that's why the Bible in the book of Exodus chapter 20, on chapter number 5, there where it says,
yeah,
honor your father and your mother. Yeah. What is it about there? The intention is that the honoring of the father and the mother is that those are your sacred gods on earth. The way how you relate to them, the way how you treat each other with them, can give a picture of how your relation can be with your God. If you are not in a sound relationship with them, if you are going to call God the Father, you might view God to be in a similar situation. But now, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible there clearly depicts God as a good father.
Yeah.
We may have a struggle with our earthly father here on earth. He may insult us. He may not respect us. He may abuse us. But that does not mean that relationship that we see with our father on earth We will be the same relationship with our God in heaven. Our God never changes, is the same. So sometimes what we see on earth, how our relationship is with our Father, people may tend it to impact on the relationship that we have with our God. Never. It is too different. Our God who is in heaven is a God who is what? Who is the good, a God who is the perfect, a God who does not what? Favor a person. In fact, we are told he gives us the promises that when we are afraid, he's on our side, especially when we go to Psalms 34, verse 4. When we are worried, he's on our side, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. When we need hearing, he gives hearing to us, Psalms 41, verse 3. When we need forgiveness, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he gives. When we need wisdom, oh, those, the list is endless.
Yeah.
Some of these things our earthly father may not give us. So I want to say, oh, in all that, what may be our relationship on earth, according to my view, may not sometimes impact on our relationship of our father in heaven. We may have a sour relationship with our father here on earth, but that may not be the same relationship of our God who is in heaven. We may have a good relationship with our Father here on earth, but also that may also impact a relationship that you have with your Father in heaven.
Mm.
So honor your father and mother on earth so that your days may be long. That may also impact on the fact that you understand who your God is. You may be abused by your father. That does not mean your God in heaven, your father in heaven may abuse you. That's how I may put this one, moderator. That's why I said this one is a tricky question. I'm answering from my angle of understanding.
Yeah, yeah, true, true. Well, Pastor, thank you so much for joining us since Wednesday until today, giving us these lessons. I do want to check with you though, your last words, the words that you'd like to leave with us and the listeners.
No, thank you so much, moderator. We must understand that God is our father and is a loving father, like we studied. And not only a loving father, is a God who can also not forgive. I mean, let people live in sin just like that. He will forgive you, but if people go beyond that, he will take his only action. This is why we must worship him in truth and in spirit. We must honor him as our father. Through Jesus the Christ, he loves us so much. That's why he wants to save us.
Mm.
Therefore, we call him as the Father. And when we want to talk to him, we must speak through his Son, Jesus Christ, for our forgiveness. Thank you. Until next time.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Pastor. We are wishing you a beautiful afternoon and have a great, great Sabbath ahead. Thank you so much.
Thank you, moderator. Thank you, hearers.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.